from the historic Corpus Christi Cathedral in Corpus Christi, Texas. We invite you to celebrate with us the sacred mysteries, listening to God's Word, and partaking in spiritual communion. Welcome to the Holy Mass.
Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Good morning to everyone. You look pretty good for people who lost an hour of sleep. So good for you. But all in all, praying that this Sunday is off to a wonderful, blessed start as we enter the second Sunday of Lent. So we welcome those of you who are visiting us here at the cathedral. Welcome to your home away from home on behalf of all of us who are here at the cathedral as parishioners and as priests and deacons. We welcome you warmly with the love of Christ. And for those of you joining us via television, radio, internet, we welcome you into our home as well. And thank you for welcoming us into your home and letting us share this time of prayer and the beauty of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass with you that always brings to us, to all of us, the love and peace of our Lord praying that those of you in the hospital or those of you who are sick truly always know how we carry you in our hearts and ask the Lord for his healing hand upon you or all those that are dear to you as well. My dear family, to prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins and ask the Lord for pardon and strength as we say, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. And therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and to you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Who have commanded us to listen to your beloved Son. Be pleased, we pray, to nourish us inwardly by your word, that with spiritual sight made pure, we may rejoice to behold your glory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can." Just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Join with others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those who thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body by the power that enables him to bring all things into subjection to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. And they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
the transfiguration, to be transfigured. We all know what this means, even if we don't know the actual textbook definition, because every second Sunday in Lent, we hear the story of Jesus' transfiguration. So we know what happens in the transfiguration, but the textbook definition says it means to transform into something more beautiful or elevated, a change in form or appearance, a metamorphosis, exalting, glorifying, or a spiritual change. That's a mouthful. But I think sometimes we can say to ourselves, well, you know what? It's the same every year. The first Sunday of Lent, you know, here we go. We have Jesus going into the desert to be tempted. And now here we are, the second Sunday. And again, we have this transfiguration where Jesus meets Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the Old Testament law. Elijah representing the prophets. Jesus being the fulfillment both of the law and the prophets. So each cycle that we have, A, B, and C, is slightly different, but each addresses the same event, if you will. And yes, they're the same readings, but they're really not the same. You ask yourself, why? Well, simply because we ourselves are not the same, hopefully, from year to year or even day to day. Hopefully, we're growing and changing every day, every month of our lives, hopefully in a very positive and a very spiritual way. So when we hear these readings, these same readings, you know, hopefully we've grown spiritually that we can look at them maybe with a slightly different eye and get a little bit out of them different than just normally what we would look at. I'll give you an example. People many times ask me, well, Deacon, how long have you been a deacon? I'd say, well, about 29 years. And they said, well, then it should be pretty easy for you on scripture like this because you've probably preached on this scripture many times. Just take out one of your old homilies, redo it, and, you know, it'll just work for you just like that. And I want to tell you right now, I would hate to bore anyone here with what I may have said years ago, and probably what I said years ago maybe didn't even make sense. But I'm here to tell you today, Scripture is like that for all of us. Why? Because it's a living word, and hopefully we're growing and living with that word each and every day and each and every year. So with that in mind, what about Jesus's transfiguration? You know, we read about his appearance becoming a brilliant white. The gospel today says it became dazzling. Other accounts of the gospel said he became so white that even a fuller, a bleacher, couldn't make his clothes any whiter. It was brilliant. But how about the three guys he took with him, the three apostles, including Peter? What were they doing when we first hear about them? Well, they went up the mountain. Then what happened after that? They fell asleep. Truly, this passage, and we all know, is about the beautiful transfiguration of our Lord. But let's look at it a little bit slightly different. Notice how Peter, James, and John are also a central part of this event. And again, I go back to one of the first things we hear about them is they fell asleep. So you ask yourself, how in the world could they fall asleep? What are they doing? What are they thinking? Well, it shows you that they were really, really just like you and I. They're human. But we hear in Scripture they do this quite often, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you remember. But they were tired. They were tired. What were they tired from? I always like to get a context, so I look back a little bit in the Scripture where they've come from. Okay? We look back a little bit, and they were true disciples. Jesus had sent them out two by two, if you remember. He sent them out two by two to the neighboring towns and villages to not only minister and heal people, to evangelize and preach the good news. So when they returned, naturally they were tired. But what happened after that? Jesus fed the 5,000. So they were running and scurrying and doing all the things in that event. And then Jesus got them together after that event of the 5,000, and he began to talk to them. He said, well, you went to all of these towns. Who do people say that I am? And then Peter confesses, you know, we know the confession of Peter, you're the Son of the living God. And that's not the end of it. Then Jesus says, well, yeah, that's good, but I want to tell you what true discipleship is. True discipleship is that if anybody wishes to follow me, that he must deny himself and take up his cross on a daily basis. On a daily basis. You know, and they're saying, tough. So now we have this event, and so I'm sure they're exhausted. They're all exhausted, but Jesus says, you three guys come with me and let's go up the mountain. I want to pray. So I'm sure they welcome some quiet time with Jesus to catch their breath, so to speak. And I'm sure if you read between the lines that they themselves started out praying. But just like us, I know myself, I start praying, and sometimes I want to pray quietly, and before I know it, 20 minutes have passed and I've been asleep. Do you ever do that? I do that, yes. So we know they fell asleep. But then something happens and we know what happens. It wakes them and it leaves them totally in awe. And it leaves them, as we hear, speechless. And so Peter, who's the leader, you know, Peter pipes up. He says, "Wow. Wow, look at this. Why not stay right here? Why not stay right here, right now, in this moment? Why go back to this cost of discipleship business that Jesus has just been discussing? No picking up daily crosses. Why should we do that? Let's build these three tents right here for you and Moses and Elijah." And then he's probably thinking to himself, then we can just sit back and bask in all of this brilliance and all of this heavenly power. You know, we can sit back, soak it in, take it easy. But as Scripture says, Peter really didn't know what he was saying. Okay, and they were very, very quickly brought back down to earth. The cloud comes over them, and it envelops them. And then the Father tells them in that voice that Jesus is, in fact, his chosen Son, something that Peter, as we all know, has already confessed. So what happens to them? They're pulled back to the reality of living here on earth. They're pulled back down to their human existence. And actually, if you follow this scripture just a little bit more, you'll see that after they come down the mountain, that Jesus has to deal with the boy possessed by a demon, because his apostles who were left down there couldn't handle it. But these three guys who went up the mountain with Jesus got a glimpse. They got a glimpse of what St. Paul says in that powerful second reading to the Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it also we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body. They get a glimpse of that. You know, don't be too hard on these guys. You know, all of us can become sometimes like Peter, John, and James, caught in the beauty and majesty of an event, especially of a liturgical celebration with all the pomp and circumstance, or maybe in some other type of celebration. It feels so good. It feels so uplifting. And like our brother Peter, we've all done this. We want to stay right there in that moment. We want to stay in that moment of time being transfigured in our own way. But like these three, we have to come back down. We have to come back down that mountain to deal with the demons, our own demons, that continually want to invade our space in this time and place. And yes, Jesus allowed those apostles to witness his transfiguration into his heavenly state. But you know, it was only after he died, rose from the dead, ascended to the Father, and then when the Holy Spirit came down upon those 12, there was 11 gathered in the upper, it was only then, after they received the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, that they realized what had happened and what was happening. But how about us? We already have the Spirit. We already know what happened. You and I have received it, and you and I have it dwelling in each and every one of us. And this beautiful faith belief that we all have, this beautiful faith belief, presents us with these readings each year, not to bore us of this same old thing, but to pull us back to conversion, to pull us back to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it should become a time, Lent should become a time of spiritual renewal and a time of personal conversion. And so, my friends, let's truly again witness Jesus's transfiguration by understanding the meaning of our own discipleship in Him. May God truly bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Together we profess, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men, for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. My dear family, with great confidence in our Father's love, let us ask and hear the needs we now present.
For the church, that we may envision the dazzling transfiguration possible to our world and work to bring it to reality to the benefit of all those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That all nations may repent for aggression and violence that have brought pain and suffering to innocent people and work toward a just and lasting peace to the benefit of all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially our own catechumens, that they may discern the voice of Jesus on their journeys of faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And that our Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving may strengthen our commitment to our faith and our resolve to serve those in need, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And that God may extend His healing hand upon those who suffer from illnesses in our community, especially those who continue to be affected by the coronavirus, and bless those who minister to them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Marcelino B. Gonzalez, Jesusita J. Canales, Yomeda Gonzalez, Mr. and Mrs. Gregorio Farias, and Mary Huang Pham, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Now, my dear friends, for all those prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of these, our personal needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious and loving Father, all this we do ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May this sacrifice, O Lord, we pray, cleanse us of our faults and sanctify your faithful in body and mind for the celebration of the Paschal festivities. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For after he had told the disciples of his coming death, on the holy mountain he manifested to them his glory, to show even by the testimony of the law and the prophets that the passion leads to the glory of the resurrection. And so with the powers of heaven, we worship you constantly on earth and before your majesty, without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall. They may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, once more giving thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for thy good cross and resurrection, you have set us free.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world. Bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Francis our Pope, Michael our Bishop, and all the clergy. Remember all our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, Blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, may we merit to be co-heirs of eternal life and praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we all dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom of
God. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter into my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. May the body and blood of Christ bring us to bless.
Thank you.
As we receive these glorious mysteries, we make thanksgiving to you, O Lord, for allowing us, while still on earth, to be partakers even now of the things of heaven. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just very quickly, want to invite all of us to join Bishop Movey and others on Tuesday evening for a prayer service for peace in the land of Ukraine here in the cathedral at 6 p.m. That's this Tuesday coming up. Let us make a sacrifice to come and pray for what we are able to experience here each and every day, that they may, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, which is why we have the image of Our Lady, help for persecuted Christians and those that are persecuted in their homelands by those who try to create violence, that they be guarded by God's holy angels and protected and be able to reestablish for themselves in their own homeland a peace that allows them to do what, again, you and I do on a daily basis, leave our homes with that sense of peace. So we invite you to join him and join all of us on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Praying you have a wonderful and most blessed second Sunday. We're on our way. We're not halfway there, but we're on our way to halfway there, okay? So keep it up, and the Lord goes with you, as Deacon says, but the Lord be with you always. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Have a very blessed Sunday, and at home, have a very blessed Sunday as well. Please turn to your neighbor and wish each other a very blessed Sunday. I'm Father Pete Alisandro, Rector of the Corpus Christi Cathedral. And on behalf of Bishop Movey and the Cathedral family, we want to thank you for joining us for the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. May God continue to bless you and all of your loved ones with His love, peace, and joy. And may you always know how we carry you always in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you and keep you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.